Good day. My name is JDF Chiba, and welcome to another Tech Central TCS Plus podcast. We're going to be chatting today about cybersecurity operation centers. And with me in the studio, we have Jason O'Healy, who is the regional sales manager, and Andre Den Hond, who is the sales engineer. And both these gentlemen are from Arctic Wolf, which is a dynamic 24/7 cybersecurity operations provider, providing tailored service to your company's requirements. Gentlemen, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, JDF. Good to be here.
I think in terms of the topic we wanted to cover, it's really about build versus buy and trying to say, finding the right operating model that will make sense for your cybersecurity operation center. And I think to kick off with, let's start at the very basics, you know. Let's look at the title of buy versus build or build versus buy. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, look, it's maybe let me start there. It's an interesting concept. I think in everything we do, it's finding that balance on is it beneficial for me to build something or to consume a service type aspect. Now, I could take that a step further and go, it's not really build versus buy. It's build versus partnership, right? And partnering with somebody that's going to do a lot of the fundamentals for you, that you can focus more on the business outcomes, the business context around it, rather than you having to go and try and build this yourself, because it's not the core focus of a lot of the businesses that are out there today.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about security operations. So maybe you want to elaborate, you know, what are security operations? And you know, we've had a long history of people trying to do security in companies and in organizations. So maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, maybe jump in there quickly. So from my perspective, you know, security operations is all about finding the balance between security expertise and security controls. So every organization is going to have, you know, cyber defense is all about ensuring business continuity at the end of the day. That's why we protect our organizations, because we want to ensure business continuity. And every organization is going to have a required security level, okay, to sustain business continuity, a required level of security. But the actual level of security is going to fluctuate over time. That's going to change over time, depending on what the employees are clicking on at that specific point in time within the organization, just as an example. So the actual security level is going to deviate. And from my perspective, security operation is all about finding the balance between the actual security level and the required security level, because you don't want to spend too much money on security controls and security tools, because some organizations can have too much security and then their policies are too strict. So it actually affects the way their employees actually do work, makes them inefficient in how they operate. So you can have too much security, and security operations is all about finding the balance between the actual security level and the required security level to sustain business continuity at the end of the day.
I always compare, you know, security to insurance. It's a grudge purchase. You know, you only want to do so much of it and enough of it to make sure that you are adequately protected.
It's really the balance between tools and humans at the end of the day. That's what security is.
And I think security operations have become becoming more efficient in the way you do security, right? It's not just about the tools focused and those sort of things. It's, to Andre's point, it's that balance, but having the operational efficiency around how you do things, because that's probably the fundamental challenge when it comes to a lot of the security challenges that we've seen today.
Yeah. So we speak about buy versus build or build versus what?
Partnership.
So why, as a CISO, if I were a CISO, why would I consider trying to build this in-house or rather than trying to partner or vice versa for that matter?
Look, I suppose there's a couple of concepts around it. For a lot of customers, if we think about, you've also got to look at the where you are and what the size of the customer is and what you're trying to do, what your focus areas are.
Yes.
For a lot of customers, to try and build a cybersecurity operations environment is not the most cost-effective thing to do. Right, I've got to look at all the tools. I've then got to make sure that I have the right skills, looking at the right tools at the right time. Now, skills is a massive challenge globally. In South Africa, it's an even bigger issue because it's hard to find skill. It's even harder to retain that skill. So number one, I have to buy all these tools and I don't have any guidance around which tools I need. Then I've got to build or get resources to manage all these tools. Then half the time, they don't talk very well to each other. So I don't have this broad holistic visibility around my attack surface and what's actually happening in my environment. Whereas if you partner with somebody or buy a service offering, you're working with somebody that is effectively a third party, making sure, so you're not looking at checking your own homework, number one, but also somebody that understands the risk, understands global intelligence, understands ways to look for risk. Because it's not core to a lot of the customer's business trying to build a security operations environment. So why would you do it? Work with somebody that can do a lot of that heavy lifting for you, and you can focus on the business risk and working on the focus areas around how it's impacting the business and that proactive management around your strategy rather than the fundamental tasks around it.
Yeah, I guess talking about resourcing and the challenge of getting talent and keeping talent. And I guess the good balance of what you're talking about is you would have a small staff complement internally and then supplement that with the partnership you're referring to.
Correct. And that's why we talk around this partnership aspect, because it's not us and them, right? Mm-hmm. It's about working together, augmenting existing security tools and your existing team and working together to continuously improve the security posture. That's the goal in the end, right?
You want to add in?
Because the customer is going to have the internal context of the business.
Yes.
So that's why it's important to have that partnership approach, because only the customer understands what's taking place in their business at that specific point in time. So that's internal intelligence that we need from the customer. You know, as Arctic Wolf, we can provide that external intelligence, but it's important that we have that internal intelligence so we can build contextualization.
Okay. No, thanks for that. I mean, you deal with a number of customers. So, you know, what are the challenges that some of these customers are sharing about the difficulties or the challenges they have in building security operations in their organizations?
There's multiple, right? I think the probably the biggest one we run into is skills.
Always skills. Right? Security expertise.
What tools to use. Right. And one of the things we hear a lot of in South Africa is I don't know what I don't know, because it's not that focus area. So having that context around the entire risk of that company or that corporation is only by understanding that do we understand the risk profile. If we're only looking at individual pieces, that's where a lot of customers struggle, is because they look at individual areas of security and there's not that broad visibility or context around where that risk is inside the organization.
Mm-hmm. It will also be alert fatigue, you know. All these security tools do at the end of the day is generate alerts. And there's also lack of contextualization again. Because you're getting alert, but you've got no context around that alert. And if you don't have the ability to correlate that against the attack surface to provide additional contextualization, that results in alert fatigue, because you're just getting too much alerts and the alerts themselves do not provide enough information about that specific event or that specific incident because of the lack of contextualization. And also the other challenges around integrating into all these security tools out there. You know, how do you get the telemetry from all these security tools in order to monitor it on a 24/7 basis? The integration aspect is also a big challenge.
Just to add to that, right? Yeah, if you come back to the skills piece as well, I think when you're talking around cybersecurity and security operations, it's got to be a 24/7 approach as well. So to staff that, I mean, you probably need 6 to 8 people to run an efficient 24/7 SOC. For a lot of customers in South Africa, there's no ways of doing that. And that's probably, when it comes to staff, the skill sets, those sort of things, that's probably the biggest challenge that we run into all the time.
Jason, I want to go back to the first point you made about, you know, almost these point solutions that a lot of companies are putting into place, and they don't always see the end-to-end picture. I mean, through your offerings and your solutions, how do you make sure you cover that full spectrum of visibility, if I could call it?
Yeah, so we approach security a little bit differently to the traditional way that you see in the market. Is we have this open platform or vendor-neutral approach. The idea around this is to integrate and augment your existing security tools as a customer. Because to your point, we understand every customer's already started that journey. So they've got a whole lot of tools in place. So it's about coming in and how do we integrate with what you've got and your existing team, and then provide broad visibility across that entire tech surface. And we do that by various means of integration into those tools and also our own technology components where we're collecting this information and putting it into the single viewpoint that we can understand where the risk is.
If you had to step away and ask the question of building security operations in an organization, I guess whether it's in-house or through partnership, what are those core building blocks that you would generally look at?
I can typically run with that, Joel. So if you look at trying to build security operations in-house, there's probably about five building blocks that you need. So the first one is probably risk-focused prevention, and this is where you look at security tools and security controls. Then the other building block is, you know, the monitoring piece, the security monitoring and the triage piece. And this is where the security analysts and the SOC typically comes into play. Then you need an incident management piece, incident management and response component, okay? Then you also need that situational awareness component. So you need to understand where your actual security level is and the required security level. So you need to be able to benchmark where you are from where your current security posture is. And then also when it comes to building security operations, you know, there's a constant feedback loop. You've got to constantly improve going forward. You know, you need to be able to build intelligence continuously into security operations. You can't just do it once off. And that's where the internal intelligence aspect comes into play. So understanding the business processes and where the business is at that point in time. But the external intelligence aspect is understanding global risk, you know. What's happening in terms of cyber attacks? What are the latest TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures that these threat actors are leveraging to attack organization? And building that intelligence back into security operations, that's also key, key piece of the puzzle.
And I guess if you're trying to do all of this in-house, it's always going to be a challenge because you don't always have exposure to new skills and new capabilities and new tools.
Correct.
Unless the people internally go out.
You don't have intelligence. You don't have global intelligence. You don't understand risk from a global perspective.
Yeah.
I think there's that aspect. And that's the thing. I always use the example. If you build your own environment, you only understand your risk, right? There's not this global intelligence. Mm. But it goes even further than that is when the business or the organization changes direction around a tool, now you've got to reskill. Or something else changes, you've got to reskill and you've got to shift the dynamic of what you're looking at. I think even to the other extreme is that a lot of organizations that we talk to in that mid-market, medium enterprise space, don't have any security skill. So now when you have an IT issue or a security issue, where do you focus? And these are all the things that compound these challenges that a lot of the customers are seeing.
Yeah, you know, if I can just go back historically in my own role as a CIO, we've gone through that evolution where cybersecurity or IT security, as it used to be called, was a part-time role for somebody in IT. Yeah. And we've now obviously gotten to a point, I wouldn't say we've matured, but we've gotten to a point where there are IT or cybersecurity managers or even CISOs that are being appointed. So that evolution does take place, but pivoting in terms of skill set is always challenging, and there's always new tools on the market. Correct. And I guess that's just what makes it a lot more difficult to try and deal with this internally all the time.
It's constantly evolving, right?
Yeah.
So you need expertise to guide you through that journey.
Yes. You know,
to help recommend the appropriate tool for that specific area of the business at that specific point in time.
True. So how does Arctic Wolf go about solving for this challenge around security operations?
So I'll touch on it and then maybe you can dig a little bit deeper. But I mean, for us, it's really, this is that partnership aspect that we're talking about. So it's about looking at a customer's environment and integrating with the existing team and existing tools and then providing that 24/7 security operations. The big goal around this is to try and remove a lot of the heavy lifting from the customer. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the challenges around it is all the information and how do we process all this information. So by us removing a lot of that heavy lifting from a customer, we have the ability to understand the risk, look at, do the investigation, the threat hunting and those sort of aspects to them. And we present back to the customer what we call an outcome. That outcome is we've detected a risk. These are the steps that need to be taken to address, and we will work with the customer to protect against that risk. But it doesn't stop there because that's really the detect and respond piece. So that's how do I understand risk and respond to that risk. we take it a step further, and this is where we talk around that concierge delivery model, the concierge team, making sure that we're working with the customer to improve against some of those risks moving forward. So how do we improve the security posture and help guide the customer around their security journey or their security strategy? So those are fundamentally what we try and do when we partner with a customer.
So it's a journey, I guess. You know, it's first engagement, understand what the customer is trying to achieve and what their goals are, and then see where you can support them, I guess.
Exactly. Yes.
In a nutshell, if I may say that.
It's the difference between a product-centric approach to dealing with cybersecurity versus a service-centric approach.
Yes.
And what we've seen is the security tools are just not effective these days at stopping the cyber attacks. The threat actors are getting past the security tools, the security controls. And it's because the operational element is failing within businesses. And that's where we come at cybersecurity. We tackle cybersecurity from a security operations perspective.
Yeah. You spoke about a concierge model. Don't you want to just elaborate? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the concierge model is really focused around not just the detect and respond piece and the SOC services. It's about working with a customer. So effectively, every customer that consumes a service or works with Arctic Wolf gets linked up with named security engineers, very highly skilled engineers that have a lot of experience around security. Now, their goal is to sit with the customer, understand where they are, and help put them on a security journey. Now, what we mean by that is effectively understanding where they're trying to get to and help define their security strategy. Now, the goal around that is, it's like I said earlier, it's about improving that security posture, working in line with that customer as a partnership to build a rock-solid security strategy and focus predominantly on improving that security posture. So it's not what we see in the market a lot of the time is it's very focused around. You talk security services, detect and respond, right? And that's always reactive. It's about being proactive and improving the way you look at security and building that strategy.
Okay. The threat actors are continuously innovating.
Yeah.
So you have to work on improving security continuously.
Yeah.
And that's where the concierge security model comes into play.
That's where that journey comes in.
Yeah. Just changing tack a little bit, and this is a big issue in the marketplace, particularly depending on the industry you're in, but compliance and regulatory issues are foremost in most people's minds. Mm. How do you as a third party provider cater for that?
So our security services, we are compliant to cybersecurity standards like SOC 2 Type 2. That's a cybersecurity standard because we're dealing with customer data. Even though it is just telemetry data, we've got to make sure we have all the correct security controls in place to protect customer data because we're a service provider. We're a cloud-based service. So we are SOC 2 Type 2 compliant. We're also ISO 27001 certified, and all of our security centers have SOC 2 Type 2 certifications and ISO 27001 compliance as well. So we also comply to things like GDPR. Okay, as well. So by implementing our services, by consuming Arctic Wolf services, we help our customers to demonstrate compliance to their regulations. So some customers are going down the ISO certification route. Mm. Some of the requirements for ISO, necessitate the need for 24/7 monitoring, for example. We provide that capability. Things like PCI DSS, if you're dealing with payment card transactions, you need to have a SIM. That's mandatory for PCI DSS compliance. We provide the SIM functionality as part of our service, as part of our outcome-based service. We're providing the SIM functionality. We're also providing the SOAR functionality as well as part of our service offering.
Maybe just to add on to that, what we also see is for some of the smaller companies as well, trying to be compliant to work with a lot of the big corporates, so that third-party risk aspect.
Yes.
A lot of the time they get a lot of pressure gets put on them to have SOC, all these sort of aspects. So that is somewhere where we work quite a lot with a lot of the smaller customers to make sure they have these service offerings that they're actually compliant to work with a lot of those big organizations as well.
Yeah, and it's also a cyber insurance thing as well.
Yeah, correct.
Some organizations are battling to get cyber insurance to begin with because they don't have the required security controls in place that these cyber insurance companies are looking for. By implementing our services, we deliver those security controls, many of the security controls that the cyber insurance companies are looking for. Mm-hmm. And in fact, as part of our service offering, we do something called a cyber resiliency assessment, where our specialists work with our customers to benchmark themselves, their security posture against industry standard frameworks, cybersecurity frameworks like, for example, NIST and CIS, work with them to benchmark themselves against those security frameworks, figure out where the gaps are, and we can produce cyber resiliency reports around those specific frameworks and insurability reports as well around those specific reports.
Okay, so the threat landscape is continuously evolving and it's probably getting more and more complex as we go along. So how do you guys as Arctic Wolf, you know, keep up and be dynamic enough to keep up with what's going on in the marketplace?
Yeah, maybe to talk around that. So I think this is where that value of that global intelligence comes in. So remember, everything we do, we have a huge amount of customers from a global perspective. And maybe to put that in context, so we take on board about 6 trillion security events a week into this platform. Now, what that gives us is a huge amount of intelligence around global risk. And the benefit of that is we could detect some sort of risk happening somewhere else in the world, and we can automatically understand that risk across our entire customer base to proactively protect against that. But it also goes a step further. So we have our Arctic Wolf Labs team that is a whole lot of data scientists and very, very intelligent people that are building intelligence back into this platform. So everything we do and every risk we identify, we build back into this platform, and that helps us continuously evolve the cybersecurity protection that we deliver as part of the service offering.
Okay, well, thanks.
It's basically leveraging the power of data from all of our customers. It's really, you can't do cybersecurity on your own these days. With the advent of artificial intelligence and machine learning and generative AI, you can't do cybersecurity on your own anymore. You need to do cybersecurity as part of a larger organization, of a bigger group. And that's what our platform approach allows us to do. So it allows us to leverage the power of data from all of our customers to build intelligence to protect all of our customers going forward into the platform. So the intelligence is built into the platform, typically using machine learning concepts. Okay, and we build that intelligence back into the platform to essentially inoculate the entire customer base from any new threat that we've detected.
No, I think that leads to my question around future trends, because clearly, AI and machine learning, all of these technologies have become kind of mainstream these days. So going forward into the future, what are the future trends that you are seeing particularly impacting the cybersecurity world?
Yeah, you may.
I think what we're going to see is a lot of consolidation in the cybersecurity space. In fact, we saw it, I think, yesterday or the day before. Sophos has just acquired SecureWorks. Mm-hmm. So in terms of vendors, there's going to be a lot of consolidation in the space. The small guys are essentially going to disappear, be swallowed up by the larger guys. So that's what you'll see in the future happening more and more.
Is that because they provide a niche solution that kind of needs to be consumed or subsumed?
Again, they're probably only tackling a small area when it comes to cybersecurity. Yes. They're not looking at security operations in general. So security operations is more than just a SOC. It's the proactive piece as well. It's a continuous vulnerability management. It's a security awareness training. It's full-blown incident response capability. That's all under the umbrella of security operations. So you're going to see a lot of these smaller organizations that focus on specific niche areas of cybersecurity are going to be swallowed up by the larger crowd.
Yeah, and I think the risk is just going to exponentially grow, right? I mean, Andre touched on AI. It's become, I mean, you look at the concept around how easy it is to attack something or build something through AI intelligence. The key fundamental is we've got to become more efficient in how we look at security. And that's what we need to focus in on. We talk around it a lot, the growth of these companies that actually target companies or existing customers. So extortionware, ransomware as a service companies. There's a lot of focus in how we can attack companies and what we can use the intelligence around. So I think as much as we talk around how the threat's evolving, it's just going to become far greater and a lot more of it happening as we see this grow.
Yeah, and I guess you need to start narrowing down the focus of how you want to deal with these rather than trying to solve every problem on the face of the planet and not being effective by doing that.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the other fundamental is understanding across the entire attack surface of a customer, because that helps you identify risk quicker, and it helps you understand the context around that risk and what it's potentially attacking. I mean, we always use the example is, you think about the way we look at cybersecurity is effectively us being the armed response, monitoring all these different areas, understanding the risk, provided guidance and automated remediation depending on that risk.
Yeah,
from a 24/7 approach.
Okay. No, that's great. I think it's been a great conversation, by the way, and thank you for that. Just in closing, any last thoughts from both of you?
Maybe just from my side, I think what we have seen is, like, we've been in South Africa a couple of years now, and to your point a bit earlier, it was a very tactical approach to cybersecurity. It was that grudge purchase. We actually seen a bit of a different dynamic in the last couple, or this year, I would say, in the last couple of months, where customers are starting to look at cybersecurity a lot more strategically and starting to look at it, how do I help build this as part of my strategy inside my organization? So that's the first piece. And the second piece is, it is far easier to consume a service-based approach than trying to build this yourself, because we spoke about the challenges around building it yourself and the costs potentially and all that, but the time frame is also a challenge. You could, if you try and build your own security operations, you're talking 6 to 12 months. We look at trying to onboard a customer in 30 to 45 days. So time to protection is important. And the key thing is, all I want to leave everyone with is that we're here to help. So happy to come and chat to you, understand where your risk is, and see how we can potentially help.
Yeah, and I mean, to the point, the fact that you require such a wide range of capability, skills, and insight, and it's not today, it's on a continuous basis, you're going to keep that up to date, I think does make it a lot more attractive to partner with somebody like yourselves. Andre, any last words from you?
No, I think, you know, the main differentiator around Arctic Wolf is we can plug into a customer's existing security stack and their existing security posture. That's what our service is designed to do. No matter where that organization is in terms of cybersecurity maturity, you know, they could be very reactive or they could be slightly more proactive. And our service is designed to plug into wherever they may be at that specific point in time and advance them further ahead, you know, move them to a more continuously adaptive, proactive state of cybersecurity defense.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Jared.
Great, and appreciate you being in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.